I'll praise you in this storm. It's probably become one of my favorite songs. As we all, if we're honest with each other this morning, we do go through storms in our life. And that one just does something for me. And I hope, and I have to this point, and I hope that I can continue that when storms arise in my life, that no matter what they are, that I can just continue to praise Him in the storm. And they will come. You've heard it said probably many times that we're either in the middle of a storm, or either we're coming out of a storm, or we're about to go in a storm. I've learned that to be true in my life also. But this morning I want to talk to you about something that I believe is very important in each one of our lives. Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 29. I want to read one verse to you this morning and kind of share a thought with you and give you 4, 5, 6 points, and then we'll be finished. But in Acts 11 and chapter 11, verse 29, the Bible says, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." Let's pray again. Father, again, we thank you. God, I ask you this morning, Lord, that you would just bless your word, the reading. God, help me that I might say exactly what you'd have me to this morning, nothing more, nothing less. But Lord, that I might be able to challenge these young people this morning, Lord. God, how you've challenged me the last few days. And God, I pray that, Lord, when we leave here, that we can leave differently than when we walked in. And God, that our hearts might be softened, Lord. Some may come to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, some may just come to know you closer this morning. Lord, whatever the case is, God, I ask you that you might grant it this morning. Help me, and I'll thank you and praise you and continue to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in this verse, I'm interested in one little phrase this morning. And it's in here in verse number 29, and it says, "Every man according to his ability." Every man according to his ability. Now, let me say before I get into my points this morning that, and I guess the thought would be that phrase, every man according to his ability. Every young boy or every young girl or every man, every woman, every person according to his or her ability. I do understand this morning that some of you have more ability than others. I certainly can't play the guitar like Miss Hannah just played it. My goodness. I certainly can't sing like that either. And that blessed my heart. But there's abilities that God has given each one of us. Some may be musically inclined. I can't hardly stay on the same note if I had my life depended on it. But you know what? God has given each one of us some abilities in life. You know what? There may be some of you that may have a easier time to witness the others. That's one thing that in my life that I've been able, fortunately, that God's given me the ability to be able to witness to those that I don't even know. And I'll enjoy doing it. But each one of us have abilities in here, and I don't think God expects us to give any more than we're able to. But He is, I believe, wanting us to give everything that we can give to Him this morning. And I want to talk to you this morning about the abilities in our life. And I've just randomly, as God gave me some, just wrote some down, and I'm going to try to bring out some scripture to kind of go along and illustrate some points that I want to make this morning. But I want to preach on this thought this morning, every man according to his ability. And the first thing I'd like to say this morning is, what about our availability? Our availability. I understand sometimes it's not as much about our ability as it is our availability. And what I mean by that is making ourselves available. The Bible says, or the dictionary, the Webster says this morning that someone that can be easily used or someone that is handy. Talking about availability, okay? Availability. I mean, being able or being willing. A lot of times we're able to, you know what, to be able to do something for God. A lot of times we're able maybe to do exactly what God has called us to do. We're able to do it, but we just don't make ourselves available to do it. And you see, there's a big difference. There's times in our life that God may specifically call you to do something or to say something that only you and that you at that particular time may be the one that reaches somebody for Christ. It may be you and only you, and exactly just you in that moment of your life that may be you that it takes to encourage somebody no matter what they're going through in their life. Talking about availability, and I love to read about Samuel. And in 1 Samuel there, the first few chapters, the first three chapters, it talks about young Samuel there. And the Bible speaks of him as a young man. And the Bible says that he continually, that he ministered unto the Lord. I mean, listen, as a young child, he knew what it meant to worship and minister unto the Lord. And Samuel said this in 1 Samuel 3 and 10. He said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Now, just a little bit about the story there. He was asleep and he kept hearing a voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel thought Eli at the time, Eli there, he thought Eli was calling him. And he would arise and he would go to Eli and he would say, "That here I am, Eli. You called for me." And Eli said, "I didn't call for you. Go and lay back down." And again and again, a few times, and finally Eli said, "Listen," he said, "if you hear that voice again, say, 'Speak, thy servant heareth.'" Eli said, "It's the Lord trying to talk to you, Samuel." And finally here, Samuel heard the voice again, and he said, "Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth." You know what, as we read on, I don't have time because I got a lot I want to get in this morning, but that morning God, or that moment, God had told Samuel, he said, "Samuel, I need you to do me just a little favor." He said, "I need you to do something just very small for me." And what he said, "I've told Eli that if he didn't get his family under control, that I was going to judge his family." He said, I've warned him, I've sent a man of God to him to tell him, "Beware, you better get your sons in order, you better get your life in order, or else there's going to be consequences." And he told Samuel, he said, "Samuel, what I need you to do is just go tell Eli that I'm going to finally judge his family like I said I would." He said, "I'm going to judge his family." Come here for a minute, Wyatt. Come here for just a minute. I just gave Wyatt some instruction, simple instructions. Just some simple instructions. I was hoping it'd take out and take a lap around the church. But I said, "You know what? Just go over and open up that door and just let it shut and come sit back down." And you know what? That's what he did. And you know, that moment God said, "Samuel, I just want you to go tell Eli I'm going to judge his family." He said, "You know what? Tell him every whit," the Bible says. And you know what? Samuel said, "Okay, Lord, I will do it." Over in Isaiah said, "Lord, send me." He said, "I'll go for you. If nobody else will," he'll say, "I'll go for you." I wonder how many times in our life that God has dealt with us about something. I'm talking about when he deals with us, it's important. He's never going to deal with us about something that's not important. But I wonder how many times in our life that maybe he called your name, maybe he's called my name, and yet we've sat back and we've done nothing with it. When all he asked us to do is just to be available for him, to be used. Samuel as a little child, Isaiah there older in life said, "Here I am, send me." Samuel said, "Thy servant here speak, here I am." And the Bible says that Samuel went on and he told Eli every word that God had spoken unto him. And later on in verse chapters 4, 5, and 6, we see that Eli and his family, his boys were killed in battle, and he fell off and there the wall and he'd break his neck, and Eli himself died. God did what he said he was going to do. Every man according to his ability. Listen, what about your availability this morning? What are we doing with the time that we've had that God has given us to worship Him, to serve Him? What are we doing with the time that God has given us to pray and to read and to study and to witness and to serve? What are we doing with that time that He's given us? Preached a few weeks ago, life's like a vapor here for just a little while and vanishes away. And you know our life's going to be just like that. All of a sudden, we're going to be older. And all of a sudden, you know what? We're going to be older. And this life that we live is going to be gone. And we're going to say, man, how did it go by so fast? What about your availability this morning? Listen, I know sometimes you may not be able. Lord's not going to come up to you, Braxton, and say, okay, go get in the car and drive 3 miles down the road and witness to that person on the porch. You know what? Because you're not old enough to drive. But you know what? He may tell some of you older kids, you know what? You need to go down there to your friend, tell them what they're doing is wrong. You know what? You need to tell them they need to come to church with you. You know what? He may even tell you to get on the gator and go. I don't know. But let me say this, when God deals with our heart, speaks with our heart, you know what we need to do? We just need to make ourselves available. Not only the availability, but what about our flexibility? What about our flexibility? Definition means to adjust to a change. I always want to be honest with you. This is my weakness right here. I don't like change. Some of you come to know that. Well, I like the same old thing. I mean, I like the same old things. It don't matter where we go eat, I get the same thing everywhere we go. I mean, it's just like clockwork. I don't like change. I like what I like, and that's good. One time, Maggie told Anita, she said, Mama, you ought to be glad of that. He won't ever want to trade you in. I don't like change. I don't. And I know that there's some good traits about that. I understand that. But you know what? I do understand, too, that sometimes that's a hindrance in my life. It is. But what about our flexibility? Are we able this morning? Not only are we able and available, but are we willing, if God decides just to change some things around in our life, are we going to be willing and flexible enough? You know what? Are we going to be willing and flexible? Are we going to be able to change? Boy, there's been times in my life that I knew that God was dealing with me about something specific, and there had to be changes made in my lifestyle and what I was doing and the way I was carrying myself, and I didn't want to do it. And I share this a lot of times with those of you that's had me in class and Sunday school and even probably from this pulpit, but I've shared with you many times how God will say, He'll say, listen, you know, we can do this thing my way or we can do this thing my way. And that first, we can do this thing my way, means that He's going to tell us what He wants us to do, and He's going to give us that option to do it. And that choice to do it. And then, you know what, sometimes when we don't, then you know what, He says, okay, then we're just going to do it my way. And can I say to you that it's a whole lot easier for us that we just do it right the first time. Listen, there's been 3 different occasions in my life in the 12 and a half years I've been saved. God's put me on my back and teach me some lessons. He showed me without Him that I can do nothing. What about your flexibility this morning? I think about over in Genesis chapter 13, we know the story of Abraham and Lot. Verse number 5, Genesis 13, I'll read some scripture here. You don't have to turn there, just listen to me. But the Bible says this, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the lands were not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray, between me and thee, and between my brethren and thy herdmen and thy brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? He said, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou wilt depart to the right, then I will go to the left. We come to a point here in Lot's life and Abram's life, and Lot was Abraham's nephew. And Abraham had taken Lot under his wing and took him with him, and here we see strife that had come up, and Abraham, all of a sudden, he said, you know what? He says, I don't want there to be any troubles. He said, Lot, you just choose one way. And he said, I'll go the other. Listen, he was flexible. He was able. He was available. And he was okay with change there in his life. You know what? God may have you at an intersection in your life where, you know what, that you're at that point in your life where you've got to make one decision or the other. It may be that you need to either learn, you got to trust Christ as your Savior, or you know what, keep living a life that's not pleasing to God. A life without Him, a life that has surely got our destination pointed to a place called hell. It may be that we're saved and yet we're serving Him a little bit, but we're just not serving Him the way that we should. Or maybe we're just happy that we're saved and we're not serving Him at all anymore. Lot here and Abram said, you just pick one direction and I'll go the other. He said, you pick one way, I'll go the other. How easy is it in your life for change to come in your life? Let me say this, when is change good? I can tell you when change is good. Change is good is when those friends that you're hanging around are dragging you down. You know what? That's the number one time for a change in your life. You know what? Some of you in here, and I would never embarrass any of you, I promise you, and I know I give you I would never embarrass you, and what we speak about is confidential. But a lot of you, and I'm not going to say some of you, but a lot of you in here sat in my office and you said, you know what? There's certain people in my life that drag me down. The Bible says to be separate, to come out from among them and be separate. That means that, you know what, that we don't have any dealings with them. That means that we don't eat with them. That means that we don't talk to them. We don't text them. That we don't have anything in the world to do with them people. Because you know what they do? They drift you further and help you drift further and further away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible actually says, purge out the leaven that's among you so the whole lump's not ruined. I'm just paraphrasing. And I can go back and speak for myself that in my life I've had to purge out, I've had to get rid of people in my life, and I love them. And listen, I'm talking about some family members. I'm talking about brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles. I'm talking about folks that I loved. I'm talking about people that I grew up my whole life with. And to this day, I love as much as anybody. But you know what I've had to do? I've had to separate myself from them because of the lifestyle that they live. It isn't a lifestyle that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If I hang around them very long, guess what? I'm going to be acting like them. I'm going to be talking like them. You're going to see me in the places that they go to. You know what? I'm going to be just like them. I went to Africa a few years ago in 2009, and Ms. Leela was over there this past summer, and went over there with her grandparents, and I'm one of those, and my wife, every time we go out and we get around folks that speak differently than I do, I begin to change my tone of voice to try to speak like them for some reason. I have no idea why. But I remember after spending 10 days or 11 days there in Africa, and I come home, and of course we video, we preached in many schools, and man, we went out into the bush and witnessed to many people, had over a couple hundred people saved, and we tried to video it all, me and Brother Richard. And I got back home, and man, I was so excited, of course, to see my family. And next morning, we got up, and I had my camera, and Anita had got in there and kind of made about a, to start with, it was probably 3-hour video on a DVD, and we shortened it up. But we began to play it, and the first thing my kids, and they said to him, said, Daddy, why are you talking like that? But you know what, just being there with them for just a little while, guess what, I already changed the way that I was speaking. And I wasn't saying nothing bad, and I was, the Bible says you must be born again. I mean, I was talking just like them. I mean, I hadn't been with them, and that was the first sermon that I preached when I got over there. It was in chapel. I hadn't been over there 2 days. But guess what? I was already talking the way they talked. I was trying to fit in. No, not meaning any disrespect by any means. And I got to bring that one day and show y'all. Y'all would laugh and laugh and laugh. But what I'm trying to say is this. In our lives, when we hang around those sometime that don't share our beliefs, let me say, when we do hang around those that does not share our beliefs, our convictions, and when I say our convictions, I mean the convictions of the Word of God, not what you think's right and wrong, what I think's right and wrong, but what the Word of God says right and wrong. When we begin to hang around those that don't have our same convictions, then sooner or later, and I'm saying this sooner than later, we're going to catch ourselves caught between a rock and a hard place. Facing a decision, now what do I do? Do I live for God? Do I do what's right? Or do I just carry on so that I don't hurt my friend's feelings? I'm going to tell you something. If they're your true friends, you can make a stand for Christ and you can share your love for Him. I mean, you share it with them and everybody else. And if they're your true friends, you know what? They're going to keep loving you just as much as you thought they did before. Our flexibility. How flexible are we in life? I can tell you this. If God's working in your life, God's working in your life, and you know what? He's wanting to flex you around and change things around in your life. And you know what? You harden your heart and you say, I'm not going to do it. And I've been there where God's told me specifically to do something. I said, I'm not going to do it. And you know what? My life, you know what? God broke me. I mean, He broke me. And you know what? God may be dealing with some of you today about something in your life. And you know what? It's talking about adapting to change. Just being able to change. How flexible are we? Man, some of you might can stand up here and bend over and touch the floor. I don't think I could do that. Some of you might could turn over backwards and do. I'm not very physically flexible this morning. But you know what? Spiritually, I better be flexible. Because you know what? There's no telling at any time what God may want call me to do, what He may choose for me to do, where He may tell me to go, what He may tell me to say. Let me say this, if you're at the intersection in life or crossroads in life where God's trying to change your direction, and you know what, and if you don't let Him, this is what's going to happen. He's going to break you. Now listen to me. I do understand that we've got kids from 5 in here to whoever the oldest one is. I'm not going to call any names, Miss Terry. But you know what? I do know that myself and Miss Terry and some of these older kids and these teachers, we're more accountable for things in our life than some of these little 5-year-olds. I understand that. Don't take me out of context this morning. But no matter what our age is, you know what? God will deal with us about certain things in our life. And I'm telling you right now, some of you in here this morning, if you don't change your direction, all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in a condition where, you know what, God's going to break you. And you know what? He'll do whatever it takes to get your attention. As I've shared with you many times, He took my little 3-month-old baby in the hospital. Almost 13 years ago, broke me and got my attention. And you know what? That led me eventually to the cross at Calvary. But God's concerned about our availability. He's concerned about our flexibility. But not only that, you know what? He's concerned about our dependability also. You know what? It's hard to find people today that's dependable. Amen. It is. It's hard. Listen, even at your age, you know what? It's hard to find people that are dependable. The definitions mean someone that's trustworthy or reliable at any time or at all times. That someone that's dependable. I mean someone that you can trust. I mean somebody that you can trust. I've often said this. There's only 2 people. Somebody came up to me one time and they said, Brother Greg, you don't trust me, do you? Now, this has always been my response. I've had this asked many times. I said, you know what? There's two people in life that I trust. One of them's my wife, and the other one's not you. I don't mean to be mean, but that's just true. Listen, our flesh desires to do flesh. You know what? My flesh, Miss Kim, a desire to lie to you in a heartbeat if I can. If it, you know, my flesh sometimes, you know what? It'll want me to tell a lie, and then I'll tell another lie. This flesh is, you know what? This flesh is a mess. It didn't get saved when I got saved. My soul got saved, but my flesh still desires. But trustworthy, being dependable. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ needs in the battle that we're in? He needs young men and women. He needs older men and women. He needs Christians to stand up and you know what and say, I'm going to be dependable, Lord. I'm going to be dependable. No matter what comes my way, no matter how hard things get, no matter what I've got to do in life, I'm just going to be dependable for you, Lord. You know what? Just looking back, and you may have some, we all have friends, but in your life, think about who's truly dependable in your life. I'm talking about if something were to come up today, and you know what I mean, something came up, and man, you needed prayer, you needed something in your life, you had a need, you know what? They would be certain people that you'd probably call and certain people that you wouldn't call. But you know what? Because some would be more dependable than others. I think of the scripture here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy in chapter number 4 in the Bible, in chapter number 4, verse number 10, the Bible says this. The Bible says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. You know what, Demas at one time, as we read in here, and we don't read anything else about Demas, but we read about Demas, and Demas was one that when Paul and Barnabas set out on their journey, the mission work around the world began, Demas jumped in there and he said, boy, I'm going to be with you. I mean, I am ready to go. Hey, here, I'm going to fight the fight with you. Here, I'm ready. Demas said, I'm here I am with you. And Demas got out there, and you know what? He battled some. Boy, he fought the fight for a little while. But you know what? Later on in Scripture, Paul says, when he's ready to depart again, you know what? He says, Demas hath forsaken me. What he was saying was, and the Bible says, the reason that Demas hath forsaken me is because having loved this present world. Bible says in 2 John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, this world will get us in a mess. Demas was not dependable. Demas was not dependable. Later on, Paul says, give me Mark. Barnabas and Paul set out together on a journey there, I think in Acts 13 together. And even later in life, you know what? Paul and Barnabas didn't see eye to eye. And Paul said, give me Mark because he's profitable for the ministry. What he was saying, he said, give me Mark. Mark can go with me because you know what? Mark is someone that I can depend on. Mark's going to be someone that's going to get out there and battle and fight the fight with me. Let me ask you this morning, how dependable are you? How dependable are you? Listen, how dependable are you for the Lord Jesus Christ? When your name's called, when He calls you to do something, when He calls you to stand up for what's right, when He calls you to stand against what's wrong, I mean, when He deals with your heart, you know what, are you one of those that say, Lord, you can depend on me? I'm right here, I'm going to do what you tell me to. Are you one of those like Demas that, you know what, you just have forsaken God and His ways and His statutes and His commandments because you know what? You love the present world more than you do love. You love God. Let me say this. You could be born again and here saved. I mean, you trusted Christ as your Savior. You might have been saved for several years, but you know what? This present world, you know what? If we allow it, it'll drag us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our fellowship with Him will not be what it once was. And all of a sudden, you know what we'll want to do? We'll just want to go sit down somewhere. What about your dependability? What about your durability? What about your durability? Durability there, the definition means a lasting in spite of hard use or wear. Boy, this is when I got happy last night about 1 o'clock in the morning. Durability. Lasting when you're, everything about you is just exhausted. Talking about durability. Think about a runner in a race. Think about those marathon runners. They start out and they run for miles and miles and miles and miles. They have to train for it. They just don't wake up one day and run 25 miles. They have to train for it. They have to train for it. But you know what? They keep going, they keep going. They build up that durability for that race that they're running. And they keep building and they keep building. They keep working out. They keep running. They may add a little bit, another mile here or there, but they train. They train so that they can be durable for the race that's been set before them. Can I say this? We're in a race. Listen, we're in a race today. Paul says that, hey, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. And he said, through it all, I did those things and I kept the faith. We're in a race, folks. We're in a race. What about your durability? I'm talking about lasting at a moment. I mean, continuing one in front of the other. Sometimes, you know what? We have better vision when we can look out in front of us at a distance and see what we're looking at. And as a sense, as we're driving, we're looking down the road to see ahead of us what's coming. But sometimes in our life, we have to shrink that circle of our vision so that maybe the only thing that we see is that we can put one foot in front of the other. I remember a couple times in my life, two particular trials. The trials aren't important to anybody. They taught me great lessons, my wife. She could probably even tell you about them. I know she could. But there were times in my life where the only thing that I was focused on, the only thing that I could see, was that I put one foot in front of the other. My head was down. I may have looked like I was defeated. I felt like I was defeated. But you know what? I did not stop. I did not sit down. I did not crawl up in a cave somewhere and hide. I did not tuck my tail. I did not give in. I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And sooner or later, I was able to look a little bit further in front of me. And sooner or later, you know what? I was able to look a good bit further in front of me. And you know what? Sooner or later, I was able and I realized that what I went through and why I went through it, God had allowed and showed me that. But you know what? I want to be durable. What about your durability? You know what? It's easy for some of you to stand up and shout and sing and give your testimony and say, I love the Lord, and carry your Bible and go to church and go to Sunday school, and it's easy for you to pray over your meal. A lot of those things are easy when things are good. When you're on the mountaintop and when things are good and going great and you're happy and, boy, life's grand, you know what? It's easy to live for the Lord. It is. It's easy to. Listen, what about those times when you're in the valley where you think everybody hates you, that nothing going your way? You know what? That I mean, people are coming against you. There's division. There's diseases. There's divorce. There's all these things that come in life. There's death. All these things creep into our life. And I'm talking about when we don't think we can go any further, are we going to take another step? Are we just going to fall down and give up? Throw our hands up in the air? Well, it's just useless. I want to be durable. I want to be durable. I don't want to be one of those who just gives up and quits when things get tough.
And let me say this, it doesn't matter what it is in your life, when things get tough, if you give up on it and you just quit, you know what the devil's going to do? There's going to be something else that creeps up in your life again. And guess what? It's going to be easier for you to quit and give up again. And then all of a sudden, you know what? Your whole life, years in your life and times in your life, there's going to be spans of your life that you're just going to rather give up than stand and fight, that you're just going to, you know what? He's going to convince you that it ain't worth fighting for. The devil's a liar. He's the father of them, the Bible says. He'll lie to you in a heartbeat. He'll tell you people don't like you. He'll tell you people hate you. He'll tell you people talking about you. You know what? He'll tell you one lie after the other. You know what? Most of the time, a lot of the time, guess what? We believe him. We believe him. What about your durability? What about your durability? 2 Timothy 4. 10, the Bible says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica." Verse 11 says, "Only Luke is with me." Then it says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." I don't want to be a Demas. Listen, I don't want you to be a Demas. I want to be a Luke or a Mark. You know what? I want to be somebody that God can say, okay, this person here, you know what? That he or she or they or them, they're profitable for the ministry. I can depend on them. They've made themselves available for me. You know what? They're willing to change their life to be flexible. You know what? I can depend on them. They're trustworthy. They're dependable. You know what? They're going to stick in there during the tough times, during the hard life. Their durability is good, but I want to be a Luke or a Mark. What about you? What about you? You know what? We've got a choice this morning. You've got a choice this morning. Who you want to be? Who are you this morning? Who are you this morning? Not only your durability, give me just a few more minutes. What about our visibility? I already got ahead of myself a little bit, but our visibility. Our visibility, a range of vision. And I like this, right, what it said also, discernment in vision. When I think about that, discernment in vision, I think about our visibility, I think about making choices. My favorite verse, most of you, all of you should know it by now, James 4:17, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin." What about our visibility? You know what, today you're going to leave in just a few minutes. Actually, before that, we're going to have a chance, you're going to have an opportunity to come down and pray if you need to. You're going to leave here. You're going to go back to class. You're going to make decisions. You're going to go home this afternoon. You're going to make decisions. You're going to wake up tomorrow. You're going to make decisions. The next day, the rest of your life, till the Lord calls you home. You know what? You're going to make decision after decision after decision. But let me say this. When we can't see clearly, we're going to make bad decisions. 1 John 2 and 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all these things are not of the Father." Think about Eve in the garden, Genesis 3 and chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible says Eve saw that the food was good to eat. Lust of the eyes, she saw it. Talking about visibility, what's your visibility? You know what, Eve? God had commanded them that they could do anything they wanted to in that garden but to eat of that one tree. They was in a perfect environment. Never had they been sinned. They lived in a perfect environment. God told them one thing, don't take of that tree. And you know what? The devil, the Bible says, tricked, if you want to say, beguiled, tricked Eve in the form of a serpent. And he tricked her. You know what, into saying, man, that does look really good. And even though God said don't take of it, it just looks too good for me not to take of it. The lust of the flesh. She saw it, Then the Bible says that she desired to have it. The lust of the eyes, then we see the lust of the flesh. And then she partake of it. The Bible says that she realized that she was naked. She realized that she had sinned. She realized that she had transgressed. God and Adam did too. Adam was standing there beside her, could have stopped, but didn't partake of it also. The Bible said gave to him and him did. He also ate. They both sinned in the garden. God came walking through the garden that day. Adam, where are Adam? And they were hid. He said, why have y'all hid yourselves? Have you taken of the tree that, and I'm paraphrasing, I think, maybe exactly, but he said, have y'all taken of the tree that in which I've told you not to eat of? And you know what? They tried to hide their sin. And guess what Eve said? Eve said, or actually, he told Adam not to take of the tree. Adam had told Eve. He said, Adam, what did I tell you? I told you don't take of that tree. If anything here you can have, but not of that tree. You know what Adam said? Eve did it. You know what? Guess what Eve said? The devil made me do it. Let me say this. The devil ain't never made me do anything. He's influenced some decisions in my life, but you know what? Those were my choices that I made. So often we say, well, the devil ain't made you do nothing. And so often in our life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, those three things God hates. And you know what? But a lot of times in our lives, that's what gets us off course. That blurs our vision. I mean, that absolutely, you know what? We can't see clearly. And you know what? If we're not careful, we're going to make bad decisions. And then lastly, Emily, you come on to the piano. And the last thing is our accountability. Every man, go back to this, every man, every boy, every woman, every girl, according to what? Their ability. According to their ability. Let me say this, that each one of us in here today, we're going to stand before God and we're going to give account of some things in our life. Romans chapter 14 says that every man, talking about Christians at this point, every Christian will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that's taken place in their life since they've been saved. Accountability. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12, that every person that's lost, that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, will stand at the great white throne judgment. And you know what they'll do? They'll give an account of their life and their deeds. The Bible says the books were opened. And another book was opened. They'll give an account. That other book was the book of life. Their name won't be found in there. The books, with an S, plural, is going to be the things that they've done in their life. The Bible says, and all were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire means Gehenna, means degrees of punishments. Those other books are going to determine the punishments. But you know what? There's two judgments. There's two judgments that we'll face. And each one of us in here, you know what? We were born into this life as sinners. Romans chapter 5 explains that very simply. That because of Adam and Eve's sin, each one of us after that, from their children on, all to us, we're born into sin. We're born sinners. Christ died for our sins at Calvary. He paid a sin debt that none of us could pay. He paid that sin debt so that each one of us may have the opportunity to trust Him as Lord and Savior and ensure ourselves a place in heaven with Him. This morning, we're at that cross point, that intersection. We're at a point in our life, maybe for some of you, and I know some of you, based on your testimony, that you are saved, and probably most of you, a lot of you are in here. But you know what? There may be one of you that's here today, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And you know what? Just as sure as I'm standing here today, He's got you at a fork in the road. And you're right there. You're at the moment where you've got to make a decision. The Holy Spirit is trying to lead you one direction, and the devil is trying to influence you and tell you that, hey, you're good, your goodness is good enough that you don't The devil's trying to lead you in a different direction. This morning, what path are you going to take? For those of you that's lost, what path are you going to take? Maybe you're here this morning, you're saved, but yet you're standing at a crossroad. You're at a crossroad in life now that you've got to determine whether you're going to keep serving God. And then you're going to keep serving Him. You're going to make things right if you need to, but you're going to keep serving Him. And you're going to rely on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. Or are you going to listen to the devil and say, well, you're just fine where you are. Somebody else can do that. There's no reason. You know what? You're just fine just where you are. You're at a crossroad this morning. You're at a crossroad this morning. Come here for a minute, Addie. Will you come here for a minute? Can I use you for a second as an illustration? I love Addie. Boy, she's been dear. I mean, she loves me. She prays for me. I know she does. She tells me. I trust you. I do. I trust you. And what I want you to do, well, this is a picture of the Holy, this is the illustration of the Holy Ghost. This is what the Holy Ghost will do for you. Now, if I were to close my eyes and I was trying to go over there and walk through those pews, I'm going to run into something, I'm going to hurt myself. Because you know what? I can't see where I'm going. But you know what I'm going to do? Why don't you take me by the hand? I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder. How about that? I'm going to close my eyes, okay? And I want you to just go over there and I want you to walk through those. Listen, you're going to protect me, okay? See, you're the Holy Spirit in our life. You're the illustration, okay? I can't see anything. My eyes are closed. I'm just trusting you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. If you go to the left, I'm going to go to the left. You go to the right, I'm going to go to the right. Whatever it is, I'm trusting in you. My eyes are still closed. I can't see anything. We may go off a cliff. We may go to the altar. I don't know what we're going to do. But you know what? I'm trusting in her. Why? I trust her. She's not going to lead me astray. Wherever she goes, I'm going. My eyes are still closed. I can't see anything. But you know what? Hey, she's here. The Holy Spirit leads us. He guides us. You know what? He wants us to depend on Him. It takes my goodness, my decisions completely out of my mind. Thank you. When we just follow Him. But you know what we like to do? We like to try to go through the maze ourselves. We try to go through life ourselves depending on our own goodness. Sometimes we try to go through making our own decisions based on our feelings. And listen, if we make decisions based on our feelings, I promise you, you'll make the wrong decisions. In the garden, Jesus said, Lord, is there any way this cup can pass from me? He knew what He was about to go through. He said, nevertheless, Thy will be done. It ain't about our feelings. We need to get over it. If your feelings are hurt, you know what you need to do with them? You just need to throw them on the floor and stomp them and get over it and go on and move on about your life. People's going to hurt your feelings. But the Holy Spirit's working on hearts this morning. I believe it's for salvation. I believe it's for service. And you know what? Maybe you're on that path and you know you've made those decisions to trust Christ and you're serving Him and Lord's blessing and you know you're right where you want to be and right dab, I mean you're right smack dab in the middle of God's will. You ought to just praise Him. Thank Him that you are where you are. And let me say this, if that's where you are today, you are only there because of the grace of God. What are we going to do this morning? Every man according to his ability. Each one of you this morning got some decisions to make in your life. What are you going to do this morning? It's all of us standing together. And as you play, these altars are open. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Those that need to come, you come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, if you need to come this morning, many already coming. Thank you. As the thunder rolls,
your mercy falls. I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in this storm.
From the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in the storm.
Amen.